Welcome back, everyone. Another action-packed episode right here. Plenty of footy to talk about. Even the pig played on the weekend and kicked the match winner. Get to Facebook, you'll be able to see the highlights. It's not that good to watch, but it went through the sticks. He's been telling everyone it was the grass. And we get all your questions. We can't thank you enough. Some very funny questions. We break down all of them, plus preview the big games ahead. Stay tuned right here. This episode is proudly sponsored by KPI Construction Services. When it comes to construction sites, reliability and efficiency are key. That's where KPI Construction Services shines. With a single call, KPI provides a range of essential services, which includes labour hire, crane hire, and traffic control. KPI is a progressive business with modern plant and equipment across all of their operating states. Focusing on innovation and to avoid the business drifting is always front of mind. We are proud to be aligned with and have such a reputable company partnering with the show. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rixeyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code Aces if you want a 20% discount code on the house.
All right, Tommy, let's get stuck into the podcast, mate.
Welcome back, everyone. Another huge episode of Aces Premiership Countdown. Do we have a lot on the agenda or the plate, should we say, this week? We got the pig in town, fresh off his first game in the paddock. So let's talk about the pig in the paddock. How's the rig, big fella? Welcome back to the podcast, by the way.
Mate, always excited. Rig pulled up well, mate, surprisingly, considering I hadn't had the best preseason. And round one, we had a good win and... You know, I'm looking forward to getting into another week on the pod. I don't want to talk about myself.
He's
too
laying
much,
it down yeah. Now I have to tap into this just while you're listening, guys. There's a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about from last week. Gather Round looked like another huge success. So shout out to the AFL. That was amazing. I reckon it's I can't wait to get there, and we'll talk about that soon. But let's just stay with you, Pete, because I've just gone on Facebook because someone sent me a link, and I've read an article. Hibbard wins the game off his own boot, kicks the match-sealing goal. Now, you don't just get that headline for nothing. Tell me what happened at the end of the game. And don't be humble.
Well,
tell everyone.
I kicked the winner. All right, so I didn't win the game off my own boot. I got the ball in the middle, and we had a cracking game. I think we were nearly five goals down at one point, three quarter time, and 3 minutes to go, 2.5 minutes to go, the ball came to me in the middle and I've thrown it on my boot. It's gone over the full forward's head, bounced twice and gone through the goal, and everyone's saying, I'll kick this miraculous goal to win the game. You know, it was pretty, I'll take it. I don't think I've ever kicked a winner, but it went through, and luckily we held on for a couple of minutes there, and in the dying stages, took another grab, and we sealed it. So it was a good win. I'm looking forward to playing again this week.
Well done, mate. That's awesome. That's a great way to start your season. You know, a few, some new teammates there. There'd be a few head wobbles afterwards.
There's a couple of head wobbles. Don't you worry about that. But there is footage of the goal. And
footage.
And I've been a bit sheepish on showing it to anyone because, you know, so I've been telling people I'll kick the winner, but it doesn't matter how you kicked it. If no one sees the footage, it doesn't really matter. I kicked it from 50 and a set shot from 45 out, but it's not the case. I was very lucky to kick it and good win. And
that's awesome, mate. That's awesome. quick shout out to a teammate, though. Anyone out there that, did really well, you know, we're going to give our local footy clubs a big shout out this year. And we're going to start with your side right now. And then we're going to talk about someone I've got. But let's just start with your footy club. Read them out again in case people can't remember the name of your footy club.
The Port Melbourne Colts, we'll get down to Morty Alec on Sunday at 2 o'clock if anyone wants to go down. Lukey McComb, that's how you pronounce his last name. He had 36 and... We recruited him from Vermont. He won a few flags there. So he was probably best on. He played really well. So
beautiful.
What about you, mate? What did you get up to before we get stuck into...
I got up to a bit. Before we get into me, though, I want to give a shout-out to our man, Brycey Walsh. Now, he always writes in. He's been a huge supporter of ours. And, the Lauderdale Footy Club, Tasmanian boys, they've been right behind us. And I need to shout them out because we love our local footy club. We're going to... clubs in general. And we're going to give one out a week. But to Bryce, you know, we love your support. And the Lauderdale Footy Club... We love you. I know Pig doesn't like your jersey.
I love the Tassie Heritage jersey.
I know he's a bit off that one.
I've heard enough from the Tassie, so it's good to have the Lauderdale boys behind us.
We love that the podcast is all the way down on the island there. And to anyone else out there that wants us to read out your footy club or loves getting around it, we know the Lauderdale boys. And mind you, mate, coach boy Alan Christensen, a very handy footballer and
two-time premiership player, I think.
There you go. Andrew Phillips and Mitch Robinson on board as well for a couple of weeks there. So they've got some talent down at Lauderdale.
Mitch Robinson from Tassie?
Yeah, Tassie boy, born and bred. Yeah, yeah, it's, mate, the Taz, they rock hard down there. Jeez, he looked fit in the boxing match, didn't he?
Did he ever. I actually, after we finished the pod, I went and watched the boxing at Tommy Belchamber's house to watch it, but I had to get up early. I missed his fight, and I would have loved to have seen it, but it gets dragging on.
Yeah.
So, geez, he looked good, though, in the photos and stuff. He trained hard.
Did you see the King Kerry having a bit of a funny laugh about Kenny? Corey McKernan, sorry. Saying, geez, he had more courage rocking up to the VIP party afterwards than he did in the ring. They're obviously good mates.
I saw the duck a while back, a couple of months back, when they announced the fighters. he said he'd put his house on Rocker winning that fight. So, and they're mates. So,
yeah, I know.
Lucky there was no betting agency or they would have went broke.
Could you bet on the boxing matches?
No, I think you could bet, not the AFL boys. I assume just because of fixed
betting. I didn't get to get it. I didn't have Stan and I got home late and I thought, I'll just wait for the videos and highlights on socials. But I really wanted to watch the heavyweights and I wanted to watch Swanee v. Daisy. Apparently Daisy was blowing up.
Jeez, was he blowing up.
But Swanee looked pretty fit. Apparently Swanee was in good shape.
I think he's lost 10 kilos, so he's 8 kilo lighter than his playing days because he was always a little bit of a fat unit. I used to line up next to him, but I looked half decent. And, I didn't look half decent next to many people. But he looked real fit and lean and he just punched the absolute crap out of Daisy. And Daisy looked huge. So
Swanee's gone to Vegas and really, I reckon, fooled everyone. He's probably over there doing a bit of training, coming back and just getting ready for the fight. And a big, he actually works at KPI. So big shout out to our friends, KPI Construction. Swanee's down there and Rammer's got him on board. So yeah, that was good. I think he walked out in the KPI t-shirt. So
that's
there you
go. I saw he was sponsored, yep.
KPI was everywhere last Wednesday. Yeah. Mate, plenty to get through though. I didn't do much, man. I've got nothing for you. I've got some golf. I've got a big golf weekend coming up for the boys. 4-day golf trip down to Tassie,
this
actually.
Week?
Nah, in 2 weeks.
Bamboogle.
Yeah, and then King Island.
Yeah, they're both good.
Yeah, so it's a little flight job. Yeah,
amazing.
Package. So that's coming up. So I have plenty of goss there, but yeah, wanted to make sure we got around our boys down in Tassie. And also, we're going to talk about it later, but I'm up and about today because our listeners have got right around us. So 15 comments on Spotify. Obviously, we get heaps of comments throughout social media and whatnot and texts, but we've tried to direct everyone to Spotify and everyone's got around it. So we're going to read them out later with some great questions. So the one there that really made me laugh, we'll probably read it out and won't answer it.
I don't think we're allowed to read it out, but we're going to, and we're going to have to do a welfare check on that bloke. It's a bit
we'll
odd.
Put it through to the keeper and see if Brado wants us to run with it in the edit.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mate, last week we've got to talk about Gather Around. It was big. I thought the AFL, that was really impressive. We need to get there next year. And I'd love to see the numbers. I haven't seen them, but the growth, I don't know, they just nailed it, Adelaide.
I had a few mates that go and said it was one of the best weekends I've had. It's a big call. My mates I grew up with in Somerville probably haven't left the town. They said it was just amazing. There was events on, there's heaps of people around, it was heaving, the footy games are good. So Adelaide are smashing it. The AFL, well done. They're locked in next year as well.
Yeah, 3-year deal, I thought they signed.
Yeah, so that'd be good.
What value can the pig and the train offer next year? We had a lot of time to prepare for Gather Round. What can we do next year?
Live pod at the pub. That'd be good.
Yeah, I reckon that's the go. Live pod.
Maybe
and then
we'll
drink
go down and do a live one at the Lauderdale Pie Night.
That's a great shout. Lauderdale Pie Night. There'd be a few pies being contributed. Although some elite athletes on their list and the coach, he's an elite unit as well. But big week. I've got some notes here. We've got a touch on it, but Guinea gets his free kick. First play of the day, kicks the goal and a little dart. I love that from Guinea.
What was the dart about? I thought it looked cool, but I didn't know what it meant.
Not sure. I was just happy he got the free kick.
He played well and far out. We won't touch on it too much because we've got to go into the games later, but made Collingwood sweat, didn't they?
We'll talk about their form. I think they got the bye this week, so they have a few meetings, I would have thought, before the bye. Losers have meetings. They didn't lose, but I reckon that gets reviewed like a loss. Goal umpiring is still the easiest job in the world. Not football, in the world. It is getting worse, and our stop stats, we've both addressed it. We can't go again. But I look like a peanut last week. You know, I gave everything I had, and I'm not even going to get wound up anymore. I've given up.
Well, 82 reviews, I think I heard today.
What he's doing?
82 reviews have been, which is probably about on par with what I thought, but the umpires are saying that the AFL, they're doing it, they're adjudicating it the way the AFL want them to do it. So the AFL need to pull their head in and just let them do their freaking job. We spoke about it, won't touch on it too much, but hopefully now that there's people talking about it. You know, it's on the other footy podcasts and shows and everyone's having a bit of a dip. We were first onto it, mind you, but...
Well, you were, not me. You were on it week one, yeah, opening round.
Yep. So, well, and now people are starting to carry on and... Hopefully it stamps out and like there's a little bit of a change and hopefully we help kick that off.
One of the other things before we get stuck right into the show, we review some of our punning work. We're not happy with Sydney. I'll talk about that in a second. But Dave Swallow has the record, probably a record that he doesn't want, but for the most venues played at, 22 venues for Dave. And I'll just read out a couple, but have you looked at the list here? And
So
Seven AFL shared every AFL ground David Swallow has played a game at, and there's some really good ones there. But you have a list. Which one would you not want to play? Actually, no one knows where this is. Let me just read one of them out. Zhangwan Stadium. Do you know where that is?
That would have been the time they played against Port in China.
It is.
Can't remember that.
Zhangwan.
Zhangwan.
Zhangwan. Is that how you say it? Zhangwan.
I don't know. But I remember that because I'm like, fuck, that'd be sick going all the way to China and having a week off. Like, imagine the trouble you'd be able to get
to.
You've
been to China?
I've been to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But Zhangwan, that would have been a good game to play or ground to play at. I'm sure it might have been a rectangle or something. I'm not sure. They don't have oval grounds over there. Oh,
Traeger Park. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, that's in Traeger Park is in Alice Springs. We play there every year.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's where it is. Yep. Okay.
Good ground there, actually.
Mate, he's been everywhere. Darwin, Alice Springs, China, Tassie, Gold Coast. Mate, he's done everything. So well done to David Swallow. And I wonder who's coming second. It'd have to be a Giants player, wouldn't it?
Someone old, I reckon. It's an average club, I guess, that they throw them around for those games.
There you go,
games.
The expansion clubs. Welcome to the AFL. We'll send you to every stadium in Australia.
I remember we played at GWS. It was a game, and it was in Canberra. I don't think it was at the big Canberra ground either, from memory, and it was freezing. And I remember that's probably up there, one of the worst places I've been to. And, geez, don't come at me now, Canberra people. I've already had the Tassie after me. It's the ground.
Leave Canberra alone.
The people there are good. Great people, just bad ground.
All right, well, let's get stuck into the show. Do we have plenty? But let's start with a play on or out of bounds. We've had a few sent in, and Pig has one from one of our listeners. So, Pig, what have you got this week?
Oh, mate, so we've had Libba__23 right in.
Libba.
Yeah, Libba. We love Libba. I think Libba's written in before too. He's like from memory. He's bloke that's not very well. you're sitting on a plane and the person in front of you has the exit aisle. I say out of bounds to them, winding their seat back. They already have enough leg room or enough extra room, sorry. What do you boys think?
So you're on the aisle.
So you're behind the guy that's in the aisle. So you're not in the emergency exit. You ain't the emergency. You get the extra. You're behind that bloke, and then they wind their seat back. So they've already got their extra. This is what Libby's saying. They've got the extra leg room, and then they have the audacity to wind the seat back. And
I didn't know you could put them seats back.
No, there's two rows where one row you can. I know because I'm always in the exit row of the footy club, and I remember being on flat that I was on one and happy on the other.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm saying, all right, Lib, you want my opinion. I'm saying, hey, if you're paying for the extra leg room and the button's there and it works, it's all fair. All bets are off, mate. If that button's there and that works, I'm winding it back. Although when I do this too. If I'm sitting there and I have a peek behind me, there's a little lady behind me, I'm winding it back. Yeah. If there's a big bloke and I'm like, geez, I might hit his knees, I'll do it as slow as I can, or I'll wait for him, to order a drink or something, I'll just crank it back. I don't know about you. What do you reckon? It's a good one too, because I reckon a lot of people find themselves in this situation. A lot of people don't think you should wind your seat back on a short-haul flight, but you can only do it on long-haul flights, which I think is horse shit. you should be able to wind the thing back.
Yeah. No, it's a great one. I am all for it. So play on for putting the seat back. In fact, even in economy, whack it straight back. I hate it. I hate it when they do it to me. And it's almost like a pass it on effect. So as soon as it comes back, it's domino effect. I'm going back because I don't want that. And even the screen moves a little bit. Obviously, you're not allowed to do it when people are eating. So when the food comes out, seats up, sometimes is it play on or out of bounds to leave yours back if you've got a kid behind you?
Well, yeah, because the little shit's probably kicking me seat anyway.
There's nothing worse when there's a couple of knees, even just a little foot movement from a kid, and you turn around and you go, I can't say nothing, but, mate, you're doing me
in. I had a kid on my flight. It was, when was it? It would have been late last year. And I had my elbows in the little, and I had this little kid, might have been 4 years old, just tickling my elbow. Every time I put it there, you just go like this.
What do you do there?
I just let him go. It was annoying me a little bit, to be honest. But he's a little kid, you know. I was having a laugh, pretending like I loved it.
I haven't got kids.
Anyway.
So I just want to say, there was one day where he was crying and crying, and his mum, he was in front of me, and his mum put him on his shoulder, and he was making that much noise. And I was eyeballing him going, shut up. I wasn't speaking. I was going, shut. And he goes, and he's going, and he's just like stunned. And I go, mate, it was like one of those 12-hour flights. I'm in economy. I'm going, this kid's doing me head in. And every time I do the big face and the teeth come out, he was a bit stunned and he stopped crying. And I go, this is working. It's working. Oh, very good. Oh, well, big shout out to Liverpool. I think play on for sure. Seat goes back, no matter how long the flight is.
We had a few more, but we'll read them out later on with the questions the listeners are put in. So
well done, guys,
everyone wrote in. Well done, Libba. There you go. We both said play on to wind it back. Harden up, mate. Just cop it.
He's obviously not happy with it. All right, Aces tipping competition. Quick update on the leaderboard. Shout out to a few people. We had a lot of people would have got 9 this week. I was one of those bunnies that got 7. I was ropeable with a couple of decisions late. Anyway, let's just give our shout out to our leaderboard. We've got Jenko 99. We have Glenn 2104. Cohen remains up there. I think Cohen's been on top for the last 5 weeks. So we've got to give him. And Jude Smith 21. Bench warmer, #13. And Ronan is a gunner. They are our top 6 in our Oz American Aces tipping competition. And I think three of the 6 I just read out all went perfect last week. So shout out to you guys. Pig, you went 9 from 9. Well done. I went 7 from 9. Pathetic, considering it was the easiest week on the slate, I reckon, for the season. When you look back at it, there's a couple of games, but I should have, I went Dogs and Freo, so I'm ropeable. Our Punners Club review, accountability time. All right, it's time for accountability.
This is the worst part of the show for me.
How good did we look? And you know what? This is the worst part at the moment. There's something wrong with us. I don't know whether it's a luck thing, but Sydney Swans have killed us twice now in our 12-week challenge, and this week we went 450 to get all our money back, got rid of the $1.60 thing out the door. We would have been back on track for week 5 of flipping it, and we have lost because we took 30-plus.
It stunk, you know why?
30-plus for Swannies, and West Coast
26 too.
Have covered them.
They're 26, and it wasn't the line. Like, the line was 58 points or something, so we've given them a bit of grace, really.
It was silly.
And they've won by 26. We need them to win by 30. You know what? It stunk. It stunk because we picked 4 winners and there was one there with a line on it.
And it was the second.
And it just didn't look right. It just didn't look right.
Oh, no.
And here we are talking again, thinking we're legends and we can tip these winners.
We felt like legends after Brisbane.
We suck.
No, we don't. We don't suck yet.
All right, sorry. I do this sometimes. I talk down to myself. I've got a therapist for this kind of stuff.
What's the number? Can you send it across? I might need that therapist. Melbourne, $1.56. Tick. Brisbane, tick. Sydney Swans, -37. No good. Greater Western Sydney, that was the easiest, I thought, even though the Suns were outstanding. And then the Pies, we would have been very nervous if we had to get the Pies over the line. So we went 4 from 5 with $4.17 there. No good. So horrific from our 12 weeks. We'll start again. We'll talk about our strategy later. And then our punters, our pigs parlay. I've got the screenshot here. Lincoln McCarthy, 2 goals. Tick. Lockie Neal, 25, tick. What about Lachie Neale getting, actually, I'll get back to this in a second. Lachie Neale, 25. Charlie Dixon, 2 goals, no good. Mason Redmond, 20-plus, no good. Jeremy McGovern, 20-plus, yes. And Tom Papley, our man Pappas, no goals against West Coast. Oh. So you went 3 from 6, and I went 3 from 5. Todd Marshall cost me with 1, and Maxie King, I had him for 3. He kicked 1, and I think he kicked 2 on the full right in front. Come on, Maxie, you're better than that. Play a bit deeper as well. I'm watching the game. Big Maxie's running up the ground at Norwood. Just sitting in the goal squares, aren't you? I thought he would have kicked 6.
Yeah.
Toby Green for 2, that was 5. Logan McDonald, I think he kicked 4. Charlie McCameron kicked 2. So I was on the money, but yeah, just a couple of boys. And I think I'm going to put a line through big Toddy Marshall. That's twice he's cost me.
Let you down twice.
Anyway, mate, we'll get back to what we got this week. Stick with us. I've already given you a $13 one, so I'm in the clear, and you are, because we're a team. But we need to get our 12-week challenge on board. We'll talk about that later on before we get into our next segment. So,
just on that, you were big on Toby Green. You had him for you wanted him a lock for 3. And I said, listen, that's, you know, it's not a lock because he hasn't kicked 3, but he's come out and kicked 5.
I just thought, and it's a weird strategy, but maybe you can relate to this, but he's just had a kid recently. He just moved houses. You know, there's a lot going on in his world. He's the skipper, but also the boys are humming, and it's like anyone's kicking goals. But I just felt like he had that, it's my turn. Me just thinking, you're due, you know, he's not going to kick 1-1-1, and then, like, he's going to kick a bag soon.
Yep.
And I thought Jesse Hogan might, you know, I thought Sammy Collins might keep him to 2 or 3, and then Toby would kick a bag, and they all kick bags. It was it was a feast of goals. So they are flying, and we'll talk about them later on. All right, it's time to address our listener questions of the week. Again, if you're listening right now and you're new to the show, we're asking everyone to get on Spotify and ask a question. It can be anything for the pig, for myself, for the show. Make us talk about something, anything. We love it. We had 15 people write in after only 1 last week, and I can't be more thankful of your support. I love rocking up this. How excited was I when I called you for a quick break? I go, mate, they've got around us this week, and nothing makes me happier than saying, and some of the questions are hilarious. We're going to read out in a minute. So a big shout out to everyone, and the poll. We put a little poll on there as well because Spotify allows that. 100% for the jersey swap. So there you go. Everyone wants a jersey swap. So I'm looking forward to seeing who the next jersey swap will be with. We'll have to wait and see, and we'll give it a little touch up on here. But Pig, read out a couple of crackers that you've got, mate.
Well, this is a play on out of bounds. if the ball hits the post and goes through for a goal, it's a goal. But if it comes into the field, play and just play on. So is that, you know, would you be open to that?
I think
that's out of bounds too. Yeah,
it's not soccer.
We just keep things the way it is. The game's going well.
It's a beautiful game.
Yeah. And I saw something the other day about Eddie McGuire saying that touched for a mark should just be a mark. Like him and Jimmy Bartel were talking about it on a podcast, I think. And he's saying, because of the one instance on the weekend with Freo where it was touched and it was paid a mark and they've cracked it. He goes, oh, well, let's just, if it's touched, it's just a mark. Well, hold on, mate. That's not how we run shit in the AFL. It's not a rule.
If you change the rule, it would be a rule. Don't worry. I've got something for that later in the show, guys. Yep. You want to know a little hint of me? Stop that. I've got something for that umpire.
Paddy Blaine, you blokes trying to make me pull these multis. Thanks, Paddy.
We're trying too hard, Paddy. I hope you got on the opening round or round one when the train went bang, but it's we're due.
Josh Locke, love the pod, boys. Not a question, but I reckon American Aces Golf Day would be cool. Mix of players, new lads, and the Aces community could fill in the groups on that.
Golf Day has been, we've done 2 of them and they've been outstanding. It takes a lot of effort, and I've got one coming. It's more around spring. We always do it around spring. The reason is the weather. It gets a bit average around Melbourne.
Get some fans involved.
We got a website now. We never had a website when we did it. It was always on the Instagram, you know, off the record. So we're going to do more than one, by the way.
Yeah, that could be a little prize for our premiership countdown. So
we'll have everyone there. The clubhouse boys, ads and dunks. We'll have everyone there. All our NFL crew for sure. Great question. And events, just on that, events and getting to meet all of you guys that listen is right up there on the priority list for all of us. So I'm working through that at the moment. We're trying to work out what venues can hold you know, everyone and what we're going to do, whether we watch a game of footy, NFL later in the year, golf days, just an event in general. So I love that. Who was that?
Josh Locke. Josh Locke. Josh Locke.
So thank you for that, mate. I love the way you're thinking.
I might pinch one of yours if I keep going, mate. So you got a couple there in the
love it, mate. There's some great ones there. I just screenshot a few on the way here, mate, because I just thought I really like this one. And this one got me going. So CC059, the old burner account, no doubt. But who would win, fellas? A team full of Caleb Daniels or Max Gorns?
So
if you don't know who those blokes are, you've got the tallest man and one of the best ruckmen in the league and one of the most skillful smaller men.
I would say I've got to go with Maxi. And off the top of my head, I'll tell you why. Because, he's going to win the tap straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Grab it out and shove bloody poor little Caleb out of the way and just kick it down to himself all the time. The ball always starts in the ruck, so he's always going to have the first opportunity. Anything in the air, and he's pretty nimble for his size. He's a good runner. So I just feel like I'm backing the big man in. You could say that Caleb's going to run around him and all that, but at some point, Caleb Daniel's not going to hit every target. He's a very good kick, but the big man's just going to mark him.
What weather conditions would suit – I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I'm going to be on Caleb's side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be wet weather football or would it be dry football where, you know, Caleb's skills come into it? Or do you think he wouldn't stand a chance at either against big Maxis?
I think that's
team full of Max Gorns. Right? Wouldn't it be funny to see this, by the way?
Jesus Christ. One of them's enough. you know what? That's why it's a good question.
It's a great question. I don't know the answer. I thought skill.
They do those simulator things. There's a thing on Instagram. This is where I'm at the moment.
What's your therapist's name again?
Michael Ibbett. That's my own therapy. It's like, you know, 1,000 dinosaurs against 1,000,000 chickens. That's a simulator they create. Don't know how. We could probably try. We could probably try to do that with the Caleb Daniel and Max Gorman.
This week's poll on Spotify is going to be that exact question. So CC059, I'm going to put that a team full of Caleb Daniels or a team full of Max Gorns. Who would win the match? We'll put it up and next week we'll address it because I don't know. You'd think Max would be too strong and powerful, but Caleb Daniel is one of the most skillful, smallest guys we've ever seen in the game. So very good question. Got another one here. Hey, boy, this is from Ben Hannum. Hey, boys, love the pod. How did the nicknames of the train and pig come about? So I'll start with you, Pig. How'd you get it? It's a great name, the Pig.
It's not really a long story, but it started when I was at Frankston, the VFL. A mate of mine called Ben Crow, Aaron Murray, Somerville boys, actually, where I grew up. How footy clubs, there's always blokes that start nicknames for everyone.
Yep.
They were those guys. And I think I was running around, probably being a ball pig, to be honest. And then I had a few beers, and then I was probably a pig on the piss or something. And then the next day he goes, started calling me the Pig. And it literally stuck with those boys, a group of them. And someone wrote it on my footy, Frankston footy bag one day. And just had Pig on the side of it. I didn't try to rub it out. I didn't care. I'm playing for Frankston, for God's sake. And I got drafted for Essendon. Day one, I'm walking in with my Frankston footy bag with my boots and that, and Dean Wallace saw a pig. He goes, "Oh, they call you the Pig." And I was like, "Oh yeah." So there's a couple of boys called me Pig down home, and that was it. It's stuck ever since. Brendan McCartney tried to stamp it out after my first or second year. People stopped calling me Pig. I reckon it lasted a week. And then
that's not what you do. You don't tell blokes what to not do.
No, we're not calling him Pig anymore. We're calling him Michael Hibbert the Professional. That's what he said.
He's trying to clean up the act. Perception.
Perception's everything.
Perception's reality kind of stuff.
It lasted a week and then Pig's just always stuck.
I can just imagine the boys in the showers going... He's calling you the professional athlete.
Michael Hibbert. No, he's not the Pig anymore. He's Michael Hibbert, the professional. Even I was like, come on, back. I'm the Pig.
I like the Pig. There you go. The train. I used to call myself the T-Train when G-Train Fraser Garrick was around because, I was very skinny and the G-Train was a big, muscly man. So That's where I had it. And then when I went to Freo, I, you know, self-proclaimed, I used to call myself the T-trainer. I had a couple blokes, and then Mickey Barlow got wind of it, and he just ran with the train.
He's one of those guys.
He's one of those guys that gives nicknames, and some horrific ones as well, but some good ones. And he cut the tee off and just gave me the train. And I remember Chicken Nixon was running around with the toot toot, like the chicken train. And everyone's like, are you trying to steal his name? I'm like, I don't even know who the bloke was.
Chicken Nixon.
Yeah, well, I did when I got drafted because he's a manager, but and he's in the news. But yeah, anyway, so the train just stuck. And then obviously emojis started coming out, and the train emoji's there, the pig emoji. Yeah, we both got the emoji. So I reckon if you want a nickname, you just get yourself self-proclaimed. That's how I got it, which is a bit sickening, really.
I wanted to know that too, so I'm glad they wrote that in and we've cleared it up on air.
This one's another good one I got here from Charlie Hocking. Holidaying in Thailand currently. Got me thinking about Ricks and retirement. What's the best location/setting the lads have watched AFL footy overseas? Some terrific sports bars and ocean views over here in Thailand. A great place, Thailand, for many things, not just football, Pig. Where's the best place you watched? What are you laughing at, man?
What are you laughing?
I'm just thinking like
this. You're looking at me deep in the eyes as you say that.
That's a great place.
I know this bloke's got a mind in a gutter right now.
It's a relaxing place, you know?
Yeah, relaxing are you going to those dark little massage parlors?
Carl's an Amy's voice. Carl's an Amy's. Oh, very good one. Oh, Thailand's a great place. PP Island's a great spot, mate.
How good's that place?
Yeah, Bob's Booze Cruise with Viv Mitchie and Brando Ellis. That was good when we were 21. Anyway, into that Thailand, what's the greatest? Now, have you watched a lot of football? I mean, you would have been playing finals a lot of your, you know, except for probably Essendon days. So you might have watched some good football back then.
The year off and 2016 infamously banned with the Essendon. I was overseas, but I didn't watch a lot of footy in that year. Couldn't give a stuff. I was happy having a good time. But I reckon one day I was in Santorini or something, and it wasn't at a bar or anything. I was literally watching on my phone because there was a cracking game on, and I was watching it on my phone. I would say off the top of my head that would have to be it, which is pretty magical place if you've been to Santorini in Greece. So that would be mine. Going to those bars, even in Bali and stuff. I watched the 2017 grand final in Bali, and it was a cracker because everyone wanted Richmond to win. I think it was to break the drought, and I remember watching that. There was a big party there, and I was part of it. So that was memorable for me. What about you?
That's very good. I remember there's probably two. One was like I was in London and I watched it at like 5 a.m. at a big bar, and I was still playing then. I think West Coast lost to Collingwood, and I remember like we were going all right that year. So that was a unique like five. I was watching the game at like 5 a.m. It was pretty weird, but we're all hammered, and that was pretty cool being in like London, and there was that many odd, like it was packed. I couldn't believe it. But the best view, I remember last year I was on, I was in Croatia yacht week, and we're just get cruising around, a few parties, and the yachts had Wi-Fi, and I remember just being. Yacht week, we were partying that day boat party, had the GWS game on my phone, hooked it up to the Wi-Fi, had a little VPN, so a little multi. So cheering on a little multi while the game's on, yacht week, Croatia, like tunes are pumping. So that's probably I reckon that's the best place I've ever watched football in my life. Yeah.
Cracker. So great question.
Great question from Charlie Hocking. And appreciate everyone that's written in. Oh, we probably missed a couple there, Pig. Look, they're the ones we picked out. If you missed out, go again next week. But they were great. I really enjoyed reading through them. And that one you read off the top, I remember getting that one. I thought, oh, that is outrageous.
I can't believe I read it out, to be honest.
You've got to read out what's on it. Anyway, it's public knowledge.
Keep everyone sending the dirty ones in. We love them.
Righto, it's time for our Rick's eye-catching moment. So, Pig, chuck your Rixies on. I've got the Soho Cherries here. You've got the Soho Storm. They're out of stock, I think, at the moment.
Zero chance of
you left your sunnies
back
at home again. You only got one job, two jobs. Rock up and bring
your
sunnies.
Two pairs too. I left them both at home, but every time I leave them, I get a fresh pair. You'll be empty. You're not getting these back, champion.
Mate, what has been your Rick's eye-catching moment this week? There's a lot of things that have caught my eye.
All right, mate. My eye-catching moment for the week, the under-18 Sandful game was on, and a young fella called Ned Bowman took one of the best hangers I've seen.
Neil Armstrong there, calling him.
Well, it's funny. We'll clip it up, but anyone that hasn't seen it, go on the AFL Instagram and look at this. Ned Bowman got so high when he landed, he cramped on the ground.
That's right. I saw this. He was on the ground for a while.
He got that high. His muscles couldn't deal with it, and he started cramping. I thought it was an absolute cracker. So he plays for Norwood. And took that hanger and great sportsmanship by his opponent. He's one of his opponents. Literally helped him bend his toes back to stop his cramp.
Did he? So the step ladders helped him out.
Oh,
get the name of this bloke. You want to play with those blokes.
Great. I don't know what that bloke's name is, but shout out to him as well. But Ned Bowman, you had my eye-catching moment of the week. What a hanger. And anyone that hasn't seen it, get on the AFL Instagram and have a look because it was huge.
But we will be going first round. It only takes a big hanger. Yeah, in those carnivals,
where all that took one,
Crosby took one, and he had Channel 9, 7, 10. Oh, mate, they were all rocking up at his school.
I'm nearly saying this one's bigger. Oh, that was huge, mind you, yeah. Crosby's one. But this one is huge as well because he lost it and then still had the nous to be able to find it again and grab it.
Imagine he faked the cramp so he could own the moment a bit more.
Yeah. Have you ever taken a hanger?
Nah, not really.
Nah. I've never a big. I think I took one against.
It's always been the dream. Like Gary Moorcroft. Like, talk about your favourite mark, but Gary Moorcroft's mark is the most – love. Memorable hanger I reckon I've ever seen live. I remember jumping out of my seat.
I remember
maybe Goddard in the grand final. I remember jumping out of my seat because that was a big game. But I reckon Moorcroft's is the craziest mark I've ever seen.
Didn't Tarrant win mark of the year that year?
Did he?
Oh, I might be wrong. But I remember that's one of the best marks. I think it's the best mark of all time, Gary Moorcroft.
He hurt his back. Well, there's always, I don't know how bad
mate,
it was.
He's still playing footy, 44 and kicks 100 goals.
He's down at Lansfield or Rom. Yeah, Lansfield when I was a young. Yeah, he's a gun, mate, and he goes hard. I remember him. He used to give the crowd a fair bit as well. Very good pick. My Rick's eye catcher of the week. It's a bit different. We're going to go to the soccer field. It's the A-League. And it's the Derby, and it's unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen her, but Evangeline Victoria, she's a violinist.
Hey, well done.
And violin, normally I would have thought, not going to really do much for me. But, mate, what she was doing, like, I don't know if you've seen this, but I'll play a little bit. The crowd is going wild, right? And she's just sitting in the middle. Oh, listen to this.
Oh, that's her,
yeah. Oh, mate.
Jeez.
And the whole crowd chanting there. And, like, I just reckon if you do this at the G on Anzac Day. Anyway, so I'll get Brado to play it up. But if you haven't seen it, head to Melbourne Victory's Instagram page. It's crazy. I just thought it's caught me on. It's got to give her a shout out. So well done, the
Angeline
violinist.
Angeline Victoria.
Angeline Victoria, I think. I've probably had a meal of her name. But that was one. And, the other one was probably Winx.
Oh, 10. Well, mate, that was good. So yeah. I think that was the eye catcher. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, but
there's something about someone playing the instrument as well. We spoke about Isaac Rankin last week. Now we've got Angeline Victoria.
Who would have thought that you can stand
violin
in the middle of the pitch at a derby, crowds, you know, as we know with soccer, they go wild and just play violin and play that tune and the whole crowd gets right behind it and it's gone off. She's gone viral. So well done. No doubt plenty of hard yards done as a violinist, you know, all these little gigs, and this one's been good marketing. So big shout out to her and well done to Victory. I think you've done an outstanding job. So well done to everyone involved. And that's our Rick's eye-catching moments for the week, Pig. Now it's time to talk some footy. Our listeners have waited a long time. We've gone a bit longer, you know, this week.
All right, we have gone a little bit, we've gone a little bit over at the moment. So we'll churn through a few games, but we can't miss the blockbusters, mate. So Thursday night, we've got Melbourne and Brisbane at the
MCG. I'm going
MCG.
To this game, Pig.
You're going to the game.
I'm going to have the Brisbane jersey on. Lockie Neal's 250th. Big shout out to Razzle Dazzle. And I'm going to be in the box with a couple of old teammates. It's a massive game Thursday night. I thought about you when I got the invite. I thought, Pig's going to be flat. I'll be cheering on the Lions. But
nah, that's all right.
It's massive.
We know you're against us. We have been since the start of the year. So not surprised. Mate, this is a big game. And they're going like, they sold me last week. They played really well. So,
well, they did. I don't want to bash North Melbourne. Nah, they're young, but they did play North.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like
they look like Brisbane from last year.
Exactly. So this is a danger game. We'll talk about our locks later on, but this is Melbourne.
The biggest game, I reckon, of the round. Well, because if Lions lose, it really hurts them, even though it's a hard game.
Melbourne, they put a lot of time into that Adelaide trip. They got two wins. They're going really well, but is there a bit of fatigue that goes on with that? Cozzy's out. Unfortunately, missed a week, which geez.
In fact, when he wasn't playing, they looked like a different side. You know, when he was in, the pressure, the scoring, it was a bit easier. When he was out, it lacked something. I don't know whether the rest of the boys have picked up a bit. But
young debutant Colton Tholstrup.
Tholstrup. Shout out to him.
Apparently, just a mangy dog. He's just quick and he tries his guts out. I think he'll be a bit of a cult hero.
Really?
Yeah, I think the fans will like him. He is the big, long, fuzzy,
push-up king,
curly mullet. He'll go all right.
Expect pressure from this bloke.
Yes, I think so. So
he plays forward.
Yeah, plays forward. So Brisbane three wins out of the last 28 games at the G. It's not a very good.
This
stat.
Is the story. I already thought about the storyline. Like, because everyone jumps, and I defend the Lions.
They beat us. In the final.
Yeah, so. But they've hardly played at the G the last.
Yeah,
10 years, right? And when people put this record together because they rarely play there anyway. Yep. But this is the headline if they lose, no doubt. So there's so much to play for.
Yeah, I think if Brisbane are going to be a chance, their forwards, their big key forwards, Joey, Hipwood, they need to really step up, and it's going to be hard against Maisie, Jake Lever.
Jeez, Maisie looked sore last week.
He played so well.
He's
though,
a freak. I don't know how he does it.
That'll be the matchup to watch. Maybe Viney and Neil go at each other head to head. I don't know if it'll be a tag job, but that'll be one to watch, especially in the big fella's 250th. I've got Melbourne winning, but I'm 10 points. I reckon it'll be a cracking game. So
yeah.
I don't know about you. Obviously, you're going to support Lockie, so you'll be rooting for them.
Looking just forward to the matchups, the midfield. You know, Dunks normally goes to Cripps type. So does he go to Clayton or does he go to Petrarca? Petrarca's the one he's in Brownlow medal form. Yeah, you know, he's chopping up, and he's the guy that, you know, Clayton, you can't stop his contested work, and Petrarca's outside work is very dangerous. So who do you go to? It's pretty hard. Either one's going to hurt you. And if Viney goes to Neil, there's a good matchup. And then McCluggage and whoever's left over. Yep. It's going to be great there. You got Gorney in the ruck. And then I really like Brisbane. Actually, you know, Brisbane's defense was all right last week. That's probably where I'm looking. Can the Brisbane Lions stop Melbourne's forward line and stop them hard? Because Melbourne's scoring has been hard. Like, it's been tough for Melbourne to score. But the last couple of weeks, it's been great. But because Cozzy's out, it's going to be a cracker, mate. There's going to be a kick in it.
Yeah,
I'm going to tip Brisbane. I'm going to go against you just to get my tips back. I'm going to be there, obviously supporting Lockie, Dunks. But yeah, we love it. We love Maisie. We love all the boys. I just hope it's a cracking game because it's Thursday night and we don't want to blow out.
Friday night, we've got the Dogs versus Essendon at Marvel Stadium.
Sorry, I don't want to cut you off here because this is exclusive, but who's the guy that's towered you up in the past from Brisbane?
Brisbane?
Yeah. Who's the player that has got off the chain? Just good knowledge is for everyone listening.
Wow.
Just being a Melbourne bloke. You know, when you do a review, someone gets off. Obviously, I feel like Maisie and the Talls would handle the tall forwards. So is it the Smalls? Is it the Lincoln McCarthy? Is it Charlie Cameron? Is it Cam Rainer?
I used to go to Charlie.
Yeah, you're not there anymore, so who takes Charlie?
I'm only joking there. Charlie, I did have a good strike record, strike rate on him. But Jody McVie is playing some really good footy, so I think he'll go to Charlie.
Offensively, but what about defensively? I'm not saying he's not playing well defensively.
He's a good defender.
He's
a really good defender. So it'd be like someone like Blake Howes might have to go to Lincoln McCarthy, who's a really good, dangerous small forward.
They're the matchups I think that'll be good to watch.
Exactly. So he's having a good year so far. So it's, you know what? Any one of them can win on their day. Like, you know, Juddy can dominate any small forward in the comp, but it's Charlie Cameron. Like, he can pop up and just.
That's where I'm looking.
Yeah. Anyway, well, spoke about that for a while. So we've got the Dogs and Essendon on Friday night at Marvel, and this is a good game too.
This has always been a rivalry. I was a dog. I'm an Essendon man, you know. And growing up, these games were always crackers.
They're both 2-2. Dogs sold me last week. I know they lost, but they played well and nearly beat Geelong.
Sam Darcy sold me.
Yeah, he's up and about, didn't he?
Mate, oh, he.
Mate, Libba had one of the great games.
Like, adds Treloar.
He's just finding the footy.
These blokes, adds Bond, Libba. They've had 1,000.
I've got that. The midfield. It's a battle of the midfield. Like, you got Parrish, Merritt, and McGrath. I think McGrath can probably lift. I think that their midfield can lift and that they have the capacity too. And that's probably where it'll be won in the midfield. And who's going to play on Hugo Hagen?
That's what I'm worried about. They're too tall up there.
Like, you've got Mackay, who's played really well.
He can take one. So there's two others you've got to worry about.
And then maybe a Laverty, but...
Mate, Darcy is tall. So you'd think Mackay almost has to go to him.
If they get enough entries, I think the Dogs win. I'm going to tip the Dogs. I think their defense is holding up pretty well like that. Buku and he's playing some really good footy, and Jones is playing really good. Both these teams, their best is really, really good, but their worst is woeful.
Essendon were woeful last week.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
And they haven't been woeful. I thought that'll be an outlier game, and that's why I expect them to respond this week.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to touch on it anymore, but we're both going to go the Dogs.
Yeah, going to tip the Dogs. But I expect the Dons to show some more fight this week, and they will. They'll fight back.
We'll run through a few of these, just give our tips, because we're going a little bit over.
But just on that, I want to give me Tommy's tips later, but if you're going to, I reckon the matchups here is Sam Darcy. He was impressive. Two goals for him, no dramas. And I reckon Ugel, he had about 7 shots on goal last week and he kicked 2. He's ready to go for a big day out. So if Astronaut gets Mackay, then they're the matchups.
Yep. All right, Saturday, early Giants, Saints. We both love the Giants at the moment. Giants. So we're both tipping the Giants. I'm gonna tip the Blues against Adelaide at home. Adelaide is struggling at the moment. You got Adelaide or the Blues?
Nah, I'll take the Blues. I reckon that'll be closer than you think, because the Crows need to get going as well. They haven't won a game yet, have they?
No. Yeah, so both 4-0 and 0-4.
Every time a team is undefeated, like, you know, you saw Brisbane last week, like, it's like a final, because you can't, like, 0-5.
Yeah.
I'm speaking on behalf of, I've been minor premiers and then 0-10. And I know what it's like every week. And after about 0-7, the whole joint's going, we're gone. Like, what are we doing? Everyone's thinking about their career and everything.
You're booking your Bali holiday. Oh,
man, none of that. Everyone's thinking, these blokes are the right crop. You know, it's just there's 0-4. This game against Carlton will be a cracker. I reckon Adelaide will rock up, but I'm going to still tip Carlton.
Yeah, it's a team Melbourne, which hurts Adelaide, I think. Suns and Hawthorn. Hawthorn were all last week. It's in Gold Coast. I'm going to go Gold Coast. You're going to go. Yep. Saturday night, Port Adelaide versus Fremantle at Adelaide Oval. I think this could be game of the round, mate.
Game of the round, you reckon?
Yeah, they're like both teams going well. Bit to play for. Darcy's back in the ruck. Hopefully, might swing Jacko
first game
forward.
Back.
First game, yeah.
Soldo's flying.
These days, they bring him back fit. Like,
yeah,
you know, you know what I mean. Like, rehab's harder than playing half the time. So
I know rehab.
I just think it's a cracking game. Freo going well. Port, like, they were good last week. They smashed Essendon. So I'm big on them, especially at home. The midfield, it's flying at the moment. Horn Francis, Rosie, Butters, Wines.
Soldo.
So, like, how many more do you want?
Butts Sarong, Brayshaw, Fife. Who else we got? O'Meara's coming off the sub. We got Young in there.
Yeah, O'Meara will probably play, I think.
You know, the midfield is going to be, it's going to be on. Jacko in the ruck, or maybe Shawnee Darcy.
Freo, I think, have a few out. That's Swiskowski. Anyway, and Frederick, I think, went out.
The two pressure. Are they out? Are they? Yeah, I'm gonna lean to Port Adelaide if that's the case. Being in Adelaide, and they're two highly skilled and high half forwards that people don't understand how much pressure they put on, because they're not on the TV half the time and they keep the ball locked in. That's two critical players in their system. And with the way Port's going, I'm going to have to tip against Freo this week. I still want Freo to win, but I think Port. I'll tip Port.
And especially, you know, you miss two of those high pressure forwards who are capable of kicking goals, and they're not a real high scoring team as it is.
Mm. I'd love to see a bit more scoring from Freo as well.
Yeah.
The defense is good, but I just love to see a little bit more scoring.
Yeah, well, Port score well. So hopefully It goes at both ends, and it's an exciting game because it's good to see. Anyway, Port, both of us. All right, two more games, Geelong and North. We're both going Geelong.
Yep.
And West Coast, Richmond. It's over there.
That'll be a good game.
It'll be a good game.
West Coast were good last week. Let's not think of, what do they say? The pass counts for nothing. They were giving Sydney Swans a little bit of a touch-up. Our team, Swanee, is just costing us in the 12-week. They've got to be barred for a month, the Swans. They're killing us.
Well, the Swans are having a bye, and they bloody need one after what they've done.
Well, at least we might win this week because we're not going to take any Swans.
And Collingwood have a bye. We're both going to go Richmond, I assume.
Righto, Pig. Well, it's time. Don't skip over it yet. I know you want to move on from this, but 12-week challenge. We haven't hit yet, except for 1 week, mind you. But I want to recoup our money, and we also want to keep it $1.60. What do we do here? Do we just chase our losses? Gamble responsibly, obviously.
Do we cook something up?
Because it's not that hard. You tipped 9 from 9 last week. Right, so that's probably $50 odds.
Well, exactly. So now I've come up with an idea, and I hope you're on board, mate.
I'm probably on board.
Yeah, we are. We're a team.
We're always on board.
I think we just land one, right? Land one, a half decent one, $7, $8, $5, whatever it is. Just start with that, and then we can play the 12-week challenge from there because we want to make up for lost time.
We can't come in here next week and go, oh, we've lost again, can we? We've got to hit one.
We're going to hit one, and this is, and I think we spoke about it before.
Did you send it through?
Yell it out for us.
This is what you've sent through with me, with my suggestion. So we've got the Dogs 1-39 at 215 because we think Essendon will rock up.
Yeah, I think they'll rock up. I think the Dogs forwards, yep, we spoke about that.
Greater Western Sydney just to win at $1.32.
Just win.
Against St Kilda.
Perfect.
Carlton 1-39 because Adelaide have to rock up and play well because they're going to be 0-5. So we think Carlton wins, but we don't think they win by 40 plus.
It worries me, but I think we're in the right bracket.
I put that one forward, as you can tell. The picks are not happy. I think Adelaide they got a good midfield, so it's going to be on. But I reckon their forward line and the Carlton can expose them.
Yeah, you're right.
And then we just finish with the Suns to beat Hawthorn. Hawthorn looked pretty good last week.
Yeah, I think the Suns win up there though.
Okay, let's
hope. There you go. What are the odds?
We get $7.27 or we get $8 for the boost.
Oh, we'll be boosting it.
We'll be boosting. You got a few boosts up this league, do you? There you go. So that's our lock of the week if you're listening. So Bulldogs 1-39, Giants to win, Carlton 1-39, and Gold Coast to win. Geez, it looks like a lock.
It seems simple, which we've found out this 12-week challenge of $1.60, it's not as easy as we thought. It is actually pretty hard, but to me, that doesn't lose. I'm calling it. Touch wood.
All right. Well, let's run with that. We're going to probably have to tweak the 12-week model. If this wins, we're going to have $800 in the kitty. And do we roll it on $1.60 next week? Or do we just put $100 on an $8 thing again? We know we dropped one. There's one guy called the train and one guy called the pig. And here's the fact that you've dropped one and then try to tell me I've dropped one.
Oh, you've dropped one, mate.
I haven't dropped one at all. I can't even smell it over here. You've let one rip and then try to give it to me before I can even smell it. You're unbelievable. The pig for a reason. Righto, pig. It's one of our favourite segments. Geez, we have a few people out there talking about the stop that. I've had a lot of people go, stop that, or they read in and they write something, they stop that.
It's good.
So I thought of a little trend. Now, and I'd love this to get going because it would be funny. Now, this is before we get to our segment. But KPI Construction, if you're around Australia, they are massive. And they are all over the road. So you know when you're driving and you see these construction workers with the stop sign and whatnot? Well, you'll see the KPI Construction signage everywhere. And I just thought, if our listeners see them, I'd love them to yell out, stop that! Or just something and just get around them. So I just thought, you know, I don't know how many people from KPI Construction listen to the pod. No doubt our man Rammer and a few do, but I just would love to see our listeners drive past a couple of KPI construction workers and just give them a little bit of love.
A little bit of love and a little bit of lip.
not too much lip, more love. But what do you think of that idea? I don't know.
Don't hate it. We'll see if it lands.
Wouldn't it be fun if the HR lady come in and told Rammer, our man who's signed a deal, that, mate, we're getting pestered on the streets by our Aces listeners telling
people us. People start coming in with HR issues and he just goes, stop that. Stop with the whinging. No, sometimes with real issues. Anyway, I shouldn't say that.
Anyway, our friends here at KPI Construction, we love you. We love your support. And we have a few stop thats this week. Kick us off with a KPI Construction stop that and make sure she's facing the right way. We don't want Rammer on us again.
So this week for me, mate, my KPI Construction stop that is for anyone that's on my Insta or anyone's Insta that posts on Strava, Nike Run, Adidas Run, or Google Maps, whatever you're running on, and you post me your 7K run where you're running 6 minute 20K pace, and you want everyone to give you a slap on the back, stop that. No one cares. Like, no one looks at it and goes, oh, well done. Well done, Caleb. What a great run. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just stop that. No one cares. Just go for a run without wanting a pat on the back all the time. Just do it because you want to lose weight or get fit, whatever it is. But stop posting about it. For God's sake, no one cares. Strava. Anyone that does it, that's it. You're off. I'm unfollowing you from now on. So anyone out there, which you know who you are, I've told a few of my mates, don't worry, they got the feedback today, Tommy. Stop that or you're out.
Well, it looks like I'm out, mate, because I've done that a few times. But I'm flying. I ain't doing 6:30s. I'm
if
flying.
If you post your Strava.
What about if I'm running 4 minute Ks there, Hibbo? Surely I get a little pat on the arse.
Yeah, you'll get a little clip. Somehow, but nah, mate, stop that. No one cares. Keep it in your back. Hey, tell your missus, tell your husband, tell your mum, tell your dad, but don't post about it. I don't care. I'm going to have a lot of people on my Insta or mates that actually do that and be like, oh, you're going to unfollow me now? No, probably not.
But you can mute. So you can tap down a mute post. So maybe mute so you don't lose the people that track that stuff.
You use mute in real life.
I'd probably be muted by a few, I reckon.
I'd rather mute you right now. Anyway, mate, that's mine.
That's outstanding, Fig. I reckon, I reckon anyone out there that's going for a run this weekend, can you please tag Hibbo on your Strava and just tag him down the bottom and go, thoughts, big fella. I love people that go for a run. I think if it's a good effort, if it's a pathetic effort, 6 minutes plus, and 6 minute plus, depending on it's a marathon, it's different.
I saw,
if it's a 7K run going 6:30s, then
I'm treading on the fence here because I saw a Dan Henneberry post one a while back, and me and my mate were like, Jesus, he's flying. Nathan Jones did the same, and I did think that, but I think there's been a few stinkers, the real slow ones, the real slow people that are really.
So it's all go if you're flying, but if you're running and you're stinking it up, stop that.
Your 6 minute 20 pace, keep it to yourself till you get it down, buddy. Gee whiz.
Post your highlights, mate. You can go the 4:30s, but not the 6:30s. That's good. I feel bad. I feel like mine's too negative this week. Yours is very good.
I just think
that's very good. Just, that's a great stop that.
Just go for a run. Like, you don't have to post about it. Hey, we're all proud of you.
It's a sick world we live in these days. We all need a little bit of an endorphin rush.
Gravitation. Jesus Christ.
Don't cut that either. Leave that in there.
Jeez, I'm still struggling with it.
That must be the juice cleanse. You can't even talk about the juice cleanse.
You don't see me posting about me juice cleanse, do you?
Yeah, because you're on the froppies at the bar. I'm only joking. Tell the dough. It's only a joke. Pignally, like, embalded me at the front last week.
I was like, mate, Mrs. actually thought that I was on the piss. I was fucking wanting to kill you. Anyway.
My KPI construction stopped that this week. I watched the Fremantle v Blues game last week, and I watched every single second of the game. And like I said, it was a defensive display. It wasn't very entertaining. But I tell you what was entertaining. As we got to the last 5 minutes, no one knew who was going to win. Michael Walters kicks a goal. You think Freo's up. And then Blues kick a goal. And then there's only 50 to 40 seconds left and someone kicks the ball. It hits someone's arm. I think every player knew. The umpires didn't know what's going on and he pays the mark. I can live with it just. Like, I can't live with it, but I can. But then one of our boys at halfback for Frio swears at himself, apparently.
Come on, please. Anyway.
And even if he called you everything under the sun that's allowed, you're allowed to say, there's things you can and you can't say. But if he swore, and he said some things and you've made the wrong call in the dying state, it's 4 points we're talking about. And you've made the wrong call and you didn't even know what was going on. I watched you. All the umpires are going, oh, fuck. It's almost like, oh, you make the decision, mate, because I fucking don't know what's going on. And then you give the free kick inside 25 out while the Blues have just kicked a goal and the Dockers are now behind and we've got 46-something seconds left in the game where I know for a fact everyone's on the edge of their seat, every single football fan, and you give a free kick away just because he said something? mate, grow up. Just toughen up. You play. It's Aussie rules football. I mean, you can't just give a free kick away 25 metres out and end the game. I don't even think Blues fans wanted that. I mean, they would have loved the 4 points. It was the cheapest 4 points at the end. But it ruined the whole game, and what a game it was, painful to watch. So to the umpires, when you hear a little bit of lip, come on, boys, just toughen up a bit. Stop that. No more free kicks 25 metres out. Just wear it on the chin and just wear it and let us just watch a cracking game. So, umpires, when someone says something in the dying stages and you made a mistake already, just, you know, if someone swears at you, just, you know, no free kicks. Stop that. I couldn't have it. It was very tough. Very tough. I still haven't gotten over it, actually.
I think you're spot on in terms of having it define a game, I think at that point the umpire needs to go, geez, we're all grown ups here, and I've been called something, because I think the dissent rule is a good one, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's good, but I think you need to have a bit of sense of occasion. I think the umpire just missed the boat on it. I think I like the way they're going about it with the dissent. They went a little bit too far at different stages early last year. But
Clarkie
has two points in it.
Mate, the reports come out and he swore at himself. And the umpire didn't even know if he was swearing at him or that's the report.
Yeah, I think.
So if you're 50-50 and the game, you've already given away a 50-50 free kick, even though everyone around the stoppage knew it hit his arm, how can you then go, oh, there's another free kick? Oh, come on, mate.
Yeah.
It was sickening. I was cheering Freo on.
I don't care what the AFL, what the umpires say. I reckon the umpire's made a decision. I think if he had his time again, I reckon he would have gone about it differently. And I hopefully going forward that doesn't happen, so we don't talk about it. But
well, that's my last question to wrap up. Do you think the AFL should introduce a skipper's review, one per team, for this exact reason? And you can only – my thing is I'm going to add a little bit of a twist. You can only use it in the last quarter. Do you think they should introduce that?
Would the review be for the dissent, or would it be, an argue the point? Like, come on, mate, have a sense
like
of
cricket, when they
or,
make
or would it be for the touch? Do you know what I mean? Like, in this scenario.
No, goal review is different. I'm talking about a skipper gets one challenge. So one challenge of something that's happened, and in that instance, it's hit his arm.
Yeah, okay.
And they're all going, mate, it hit his arm, and then umpire goes, nah, it was a mark, where then Alex Pearce can go, I want to challenge that. And they go straight up and he would go, it was actually a touched, ball it up. It would take 30 seconds. Mm. It would take away the essence of our game.
Only if it was in for a goal. Like, if someone touched it in the middle of the wing and there's a minute to go and they had free play, someone's just going to go, review. Yeah. And then, all the defense. It could only really happen if it was like touched off the boot for a goal or to decide a mark where
inside
30,
50 maybe
inside
then.
50 you where marks happen inside 50 maybe and the play's slow anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Last quarter
maybe,
inside 50.
Yeah, maybe it'd be very hard, but hate it.
I just thought I'd bring it up, but anyway, it was. I didn't name the umpire. We're all human. We all make mistakes, but I just thought collectively the group of the adjudication around the ball late was pathetic. And then if you cop one on the chin. I agree. You can't talk to umpires like that.
No.
But he wasn't actually talking to the umpires as a report. Right. And the umpire has come out and said, I wasn't sure. If he wasn't sure, then that's where I'm going. Stop that with the free kick.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Find out afterwards and find the player.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
All right, mate. We've gone for a while. So
we have. There'll be a bit of editing to do. But that's all we've got. It's a big week, though.
It was a big week.
And you've been, De Boer, your match winner, a gather round, plenty going on. KPI, we love your support. To everyone that got around us, we love you. Shout it. Now, if you've got a local footy club and you all like collectively are listening and watching, just let us know. We'll shout it out next week.
Yeah, and we'll share it. The old plugger down at the local footy ground kicking 12. Well,
my best mate plugger, he runs the Riddles Creek Footy Club. So we'll give him
every every local footy club has a plugger.
There's obviously a big key forward.
Yeah, so anyway, any of that stuff, shout it out. Send a video in, whatever. We'd love to share it.
And, of course, there's Soho Cherries. They're online, but the Dark Cherries just went online. So if you want to head to ricksiver.com, you know where to go. But everyone, thank you. Like, subscribe. Please share it to your friends if you love your footy content. And write in. We had 15 people write in last week. I can see how many people are listening. So we've got a bit more improvement in us. We love to improve every week. Let's get some more funny questions in there. We'll read out the best ones. And hopefully there's no more sick units writing in like that bloke.
What was his name? Doobsy 5 or something.
Have a good one, everyone. Thank you. See you next week.
See ya. We'll
This episode is proudly sponsored by KPI Construction Services. When it comes to construction sites, reliability and efficiency are key. That's where KPI Construction Services shines. With a single call, KPI provides a range of essential services, which includes labour hire, crane hire, and traffic control. KPI is a progressive business with modern plant and equipment across all of their operating states. Focusing on innovation and to avoid the business drifting is always front of mind. We are proud to be aligned with and have such a reputable company partnering with the show. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rickseyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code ACES if you want a 20% discount code on the house.